Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Dalid. We will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. V'savar b'Yehuda Stam Asur. In our previous shir, we had Baruch Hashem begun to learn the halachas of Schita. And when we began to learn the halachas of Schita, we learned the Mishnah, we learned the Gemara, where Rabbi Yehuda told us that if something was put away for eating purposes, and then you squeeze that food, there is no chiyuv of Schita, and Rabbanan in the Mishnah disagreed. But in learning the Gemara in our previous shir, the Gemara qualified that machlokes. And the Gemara said that by zeisim v'anovim, by olives and grapes, said the Gemara, everybody agrees that if there is a chi of Schita, the halacha is that if the food, even when it was put away for oichel, the mashka, the juice that comes out is asur, because we have gzeirah shem yischait, we may squeeze that, and squeezing such a fruit is asur. By other fruits, the Gemara said, even the Chacham agree with Rabbi Yehuda, that if they put away la'oichel, the juice that oozes out would not be asur. And the Gemara, at the end of our previous shir, said that the machlokes is by tusim v'ramoinim, berries and pomegranates. Where the Rabbanan treat tusim v'rimoinim like zeisim v'anovim, and Rabbi Yehuda treats tusim v'rimoinim like all other fruit. But the Gemara, in identifying that machloikus, made one interesting comment. That even, as we just said, that even Rabbi Yehuda agreed that by tusim v'rimoinim, if they were put away for juice purposes, the juice that would come out, even if it came out by itself, is asur. And then the Gemara also said, stam, even if he didn't have specifically designated for juice, he just didn't designate it for any purpose. We treat it as if it was designated for juice, and therefore the juice that would come out would be asur. So we see from here that even without a designation for juice, stam, it's considered as a juice. Ask the Gemara of a sover, Rabbi Yehuda, stam asur. Does Rabbi Yehuda indeed hold that even without a specific designation, it's asur? For Tanan, the Mishnah in Masechta Machshirin discusses milk. And one of the halachas that we've learned through Shas, in Shas, many times, is that in order for food to become tamei, it has to become mukshel kabbal tuma. It has to become susceptible to kabbalas tuma. And the way a food becomes susceptible to kabbalas tuma, we've discussed many times, is by it becoming wet with certain liquids. And one of the liquids that we've discussed has that ability is liquid, is milk. And the Mishnah Masechta Machshirin teaches us, Chalav Eisha, the milk of a woman, is metame, is machshe food for Kabbalah's Tuma, Lerotzen, whether it exited the woman's body because she so wanted, or whether if there wasn't her desire. Chalav Behema, but when we speak about animal milk, Eina metame, it doesn't have the ability to be machshe food for Kabbalah's Tuma, El Lerotzen. Only if it came out willfully, that's what we wanted the milk to come out. But if it just came out of the animal by itself, then it wouldn't be machshel kabbal tuma. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, I will disagree. I will say kavachaymahu, that certainly that the milk of an animal should be machshel for kabbalas tuma, even if it came out shloy lerotzen. Because machol of isha shenem yuchar alaktanim, the only people that consume human milk, mother's milk, are children, we're saying that the halach is metama l'rotzen v'shloi l'rotzen, has the ability to be machshel kabbalas tuma, no matter how it exited the woman's body, whether it was l'rotzen, whether it was shloi l'rotzen. So chol of abahema, animal milk, shemiyuchid, which is consumed, bein l'gtanim, bein l'gtoilim, by children and by adults, Certainly the halacha should be that it should have the ability to be machshel kabbalas tumah under all circumstances. Amrloi, to which the chacham said, we can't learn the halacha of chal of behema from chal of isha. If we're being machmer, that human milk has the ability to be machshel kabbalas tumah, even when it came out shloi l'rotzen, because we see that the dam megafosoi, the blood that comes out of a womb, and the blood is also a mashka, that the blood that comes out of a womb of a human being is tamei. And therefore, the din of the, and wound blood is certainly blood that came out shloi l'rotzen. Nobody wants to have a wound. So therefore, since wound blood has this din, and wound blood is metam shloi l'rotzen, so too will be the halacha by the milk of the woman. It's metam, it's machshir, even shloi l'rotzen. So how do we know that the dam of a wound is machshir? Because the pasuk says, Bilam said, v'dam chalolim yishta. Dam chalolim means the blood of those that were killed, yishta, will be consumed. So we see that the dam chalolim, the blood that comes out from a wound, yishta, is considered like something we drink. And we take this a step further. It doesn't necessarily have to be the blood that comes out if somebody, Rechman Tzlon, is killed, but it's even the dam that is of a wound. Because as the Gemara says, mali kotla kula, mali kotla palga. A wound is a smaller version of death. And therefore, we see that the dam chalolim is considered yishta, is considered a mashka. And certainly dam chalolim always comes out shloi l'rotzen. Nobody wants to get wounded. And the Gemara says, so this dam chalov, the chalov of the isha has the same din. So, as the Aruch HaNer explains Rashi's pasuk, the Gemara teaches us that how do we know that cholov is a mashka, because the pasuk says, "V'tiftach es no'ir ha'cholov v'tashkeyu." So we see that cholov ish is considered a mashka. So now, the Gemara, according to Rashi, is saying, so if cholov and isha of a woman is a mashka, and the blood of a human being is a mashka, so they probably have the same dinim, they have the same rules, and if the dam is Matamish Loyla Rotzen, so too were whole milk be machsher, we come considered a mashke even if it came out Shloyla Rotzen. Toisvis, the very maskal Rotzen, has a different approach. He says that we know that the Gemara says in a number of places, Dam Nekar Vanasa Cholov, that how is milk produced in a human being? It's the blood that decomposes and becomes milk. So if milk, so therefore, milk is really dam. And if we just explain that dam is a mashka shloi l'rotzen, so too will be the din by cholov. However, yitam cholov behema, can we say the same thing by animal milk, which exited the body shloi l'rotzen? Shadam fosoy tor, there is no din that the dam that comes out of a wound in an animal is tamei, that we should extend it to the milk, and therefore they are very different halachas, because the pasuk that we just quoted of dam chalolim yishta was only said by human beings, not by animals. Omalahen, Rabbi Kiva agrees to what the Chacham is saying. He says, machma ani b'cholav mibadam. Even though I will agree that the dam of a behema is not considered a mashka, I will, however, still argue that the milk of an animal, which is a mashka, and not only is it a mashka, but it's metame even shloi l'rotzen, medam, more chomer than dam, because halacha is hachoil of l'refua, if somebody is milking a cow, because not that you want the milk, but it's you're taking out the milk from the animal because the milk is causing damage to the animal. Tomei, certainly that milk is milk that you wanted to take out of the animal's body, and therefore it's considered a mashkin. But if somebody takes blood out of an animal, lirufua, tohor, it's not considered dam. It's not considered dam chalolim. So since, says Rabbi Kiva, that if you are milk a cow for its health benefits, the milk is tamei, then we're going to say that certainly the same halacha ought to apply by the milk that drips out of it, just like it works by a woman. In other words, Rabbi Kiva's argument is as follows. Chola behema is going to be a mashka if it comes out shloi l'rotzen, because I learned it from chola isha. Ask the chachamim, you can't learn chola behema from chola isha, because the isha has the chumra of dam that doesn't apply by an animal. Says Rabbi Kiva, that we see that we're machmer, as we just said, by chola behema, more than dam behema. So we can't say that dam and cholov should be traveling together. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva reverts back to his original argument. The cholov of a behema is more milk, is considered more of a mashka than the cholov of an isha. Because as he said, the cholov of behema is consumed by adults and children. The chol of Isha is only consumed by children. And therefore, if the chol of Isha is considered a mashka, even if it came out shloi l'rotzen, certainly the chol of a behema should be considered a mashka, even if it came out shloi l'rotzen. Amaloi, the Chacham is still trying to defend their position. Zali zeisim anovim yichichu. Grapes and olives are raya. Shemashkin hayotzim alarotzim tameim. The juice that comes out when we're satisfied is considered a mashkin. Shaloy larotzim tameim. If they come out not with our will, they're not a mashka. And therefore, say the chachamim, so we see that there are mashkin that are sometimes a mashka, sometimes not a mashka, depending if you want it or not. And therefore they say the same halacha should be by animal milk. So the Mishnah there used the words l'rotzen and shloi l'rotzen. My laugh. So the Gemara says, what's the definition of l'rotzen? The nichle. What is the definition shloi l'rotzen? Bestama. That you didn't decide if you want that juice, or you just want to eat that fruit. And what is our Gemara saying? Our Gemara is saying that that's considered shloi l'rotzen, and that's why those mashkim are not considered mashka. Says the Gemara, let's think about those words of the Mishnah. Or ma zeisim anovim, what are we speaking about when the Mishnah that we just quoted, where did the Mishnah use that word shloi l'rotzen? That said it by Zeisim Vanovim, which as we said in our introductory remarks today, Shir, everybody agrees that Zeisim Vanovim are b'nei schitininu, are fruits that are used for the juice. Still was saying that Shloi L'Rotzen, if I didn't specifically have in mind that I want that juice, for like Klum, it's not considered juice, it's not considered a mashka. So certainly by Tusim Ramayim, the la b'nei schitininu, they're certainly not in the same category when it comes to squeezing. Certainly Tusav Ramayim are less than Zeisiv Anovim. Certainly like Koshkein, that if I just had stoma, it should not be considered as if they're designated for juice. So how could we have suggested, asked the Gemara, at the end of yesterday's shir, that if I didn't designate the Tusav Ramayim for Eichel, the stoma, I didn't make any designation, they're considered like they're designated for juice. If we don't say by Zeisiv Anovim, we certainly shouldn't say it by Tusav, if we don't say by Zeisiv Anovim, we certainly shouldn't say by Tusav Anovim. And even if you'll say that the author of that Mishnah, the Chachamim, not Rabbi Yehuda, it only makes the question better. If the Chachamim hold like that regarding Tusav Anovim, so Rabbi Yehuda certainly holds like that by Tusav Anovim. So why do we say by Tusav Anovim, stoma, the mate for mashkin? Says the Gemara, our whole premise is incorrect. Loi, the definition of rotzen is bestoma. Rotzen doesn't only mean that I specifically want the juice. Even if I didn't have any designation, that is still in the category of rotzen. The definition of loy rotzon is the goli adate, the omeloy nichle, when you specifically say I don't want it. But if you don't specifically say I don't want it, it's all in the category of rotzon. And then the Gemara gives a different teretz. Ribai seima, shani sali zeisva novim, kivin the libet kaimi, the juice that you have in these baskets, spill out on the floor. The baskets have holes, the wicker baskets, and they have holes and the juice goes out. So that's why Mikari Ufkuri Mafgalei, there we assume, everybody assumes that that juice is going to go to waste. That's because it's in such a circumstance. But when it's not in such conditions, stoma, we could say, is equal to rotzen. Stoma, we could say, is like you want the juice, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, and certainly according to the Chachamim. So says the Gemara, as we discussed, as we said at the beginning of our shir, how Shmuel qualified the machlokes of Yehuda and the Chachamim, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachamim by Zeis and Vanovim, the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda by other Peiris, and the machlokes is by Tusim v'Ramoinim. So says the Gemara, Ashkhan, we clearly found a Braisa where Rabbi Yehuda, the Moed L'Rabbanan, by Zeis and Vanovim, that grapes and olives, under all circumstances, no matter what I designated the grape and the olive for, the juice that comes out is also on Shabbos. However, you said, Rabbanan Moedle Rabbi Yehuda B'Shar Peiris, that by other fruits, let's put Tusim Ramonim to the side. We said the Rabbanan agree to Rabbi Yehuda that if they were designated for food, the juice that comes out is Mutter Menolon. Where do you see that? That's the opinion of the Rabbanan, that they take that lenient opinion, says the Mar d'Tanya. For we learned a braisa. Soichtim, we may squeeze on Shabbos, bepegoyim, a quince, plums, prishim, a quinces, ubezardim, a sorb apples. Avaloi, bermoinim, we may not squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos. And then the braisa continues, v'shabes menashe b'menachem, the people from that family would squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos. And therefore, even other people I was going to discuss, don't, even if they don't usually squeeze pomegranates, the halacha is that pomegranate juice is usur. What do we see? That we spoke about the begoyin and the prishin and the zordim, that according to the opinion of the Chachamim, even according to the opinion of the Chachamim, since they're not fruit which is normally squeezed, they're going to be maskim to Rabbi Yehuda that the juice that comes out of them is not considered juice. And as Rashi and Tosfos take this a step further, not only are they not going to consider it that it's juice, it, the halacha will be that you're going to be allowed to squeeze them l'chatchila on Shabbos. A fruit that's not meant to be squeezed, it's not an issue of squeezing them on Shabbos. And that's the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos, that anything that is not meant to be squeezed, a fruit that's not meant to be squeezed, a fruit from which we don't drink fruit juice from, the juice from it, don't use the juice, there's no problem with schita. Ask the Gemara, so this price is clearly lenient, b'shar peiris. But ask the Gemara, umay d'rabbanan hi, how do we know that that price is going according to the opinion of Yehuda? Dilman Rabbi Yehuda hi, maybe it's following the opinion of Yehuda, says the Gemara v'tevinami Rabbi Yehuda. Let's agree that that price is following the opinion of Yehuda. However, aim of the shamlei Rabbi Yehuda, when did we hear that Rabbi Yehuda was mako with Paris that are oimdim lachila, that Rabbi Yehuda allowed it, b'yotzim atzman. He says that if I have a fruit that was designated for eating and the juice came out by itself, the halacha is I'm allowed to drink that juice. Soichtel chatchila mishamitlei. Did Rabbi Yehuda ever allow schita on Shabbos? Schita is a malach on Shabbos. Elamai is l'chlameimah. How do we have to understand that braisa? The kivan, as we just explained, the kivan, the labanai schitinenu, since these fruits are not fruit meant to be squeezed, the halacha is a fil l'chatchila. Says Rabbi Yehuda, amalal l'chatchila, squeeze that fruit. So says the Gemara, then this braisa could follow even the opinion of the Rabbanon. A fil tem Rabbanon. Kivan the labanai schitinenu, these are fruits that are not meant to be squeezed, a fil l'chatchila. You could squeeze them. Shmamino. So we hear from here, we see that this price is following the opinion of Rabbanani. Shmamino. And we see from here that the Rabbanan hold that fruit that's not meant to be squeezed, the halacha is mutter for schita. And therefore, if you're allowed to squeeze the fruit, there's certainly no place to make gzeira about juice that comes out by itself. And that should be usur. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda said, the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehuda Bashar Peris. And as we said at the end of yesterday's shir, that when we quoted the Braisa yesterday about Tusa Ramonim, that Rabbi Yehuda was makel by Tusa Ramonim, and the Rabban and the Chachamim were machmer, we said that maybe not only would Rachmana machmer by Tusa Ramonim, maybe the machmer by all fruit. And that's why we explained in yesterday's shir, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak was not able to say absolutely that there's a that the machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are limited to Tusim and Remoinim. However, once we see this braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda said that you're allowed to do schitel chatchila, so again, asked the Rishonim, maybe this price is still following only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbanan are going to be machmer. So the Rishonim explained, and this is a concept we've had previously, that it would turn out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, by Shah Peris, by all other fruits, besides Zeis, Vanovim, Tusim, Ramoinim, fruits that are not used for squeezing juice, you're allowed to squeeze L'chatchila. And according to the Rabbanan, It would be us, even the juice that came out. That would be too extreme of a machloikus. And as we discussed previously, we don't have such extreme machloikusin. So must be that Rabbi Yehuda is makel by Tusa Ramonim, Rabbanan are machmer by Tusa Ramonim, by other fruits they don't disagree. Now we had Shabbos Menashe by Menachem HaYosechtim Ramonim. The Braisa taught us what the Beis Menashe did, that they used to squeeze pomegranates. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Nachman, Halacha, Kishabai Beis Rav Nachman. That's the Halacha. Omer Le Rav Rav Nachman, Menashe Rav Nachman, Tanahu. When you say the Halacha to somebody, that means we have a Tana who voiced an opinion, and we're following that opinion. Ask the Gemara, he's not a Tana that we should be following his opinion. V'chi Teimah. Rather, what Rav Nachman means to say is, Halacha ki kai tana, the halacha is like this tana that there's a problem with squeezing pomegranates. The sabla kishal Menashe ben Menachem, because he holds like Menashe ben Menachem that used to squeeze pomegranates during the week. Ask the Gemara, Mishum the sava ki Menashe ben Menachem, just because he follows Menashe ben Menachem, halacha kamaisai, that is the halacha. Menashe ben Menachem have ruba the alma. So they drank pomegranate juice. Does that mean that becomes a juice? In. Says the Gemara, once we see that something is an accepted minig, it becomes the minig for the whole world. The Mishnah discusses Hamakayim Koitzim Bekerim. If somebody leaves thorns in his vineyard, Rabbi Lezor Mekidesh, they are considered Kalei Akerim. V'chama Einim Mekadesh, it's not considered Kalei Akerim. Ella Dover Shekamai Mekayman. A vegetable is something you want to leave in the ground. Thorns, you want to remove from the ground. And therefore, it's not considered a different type of growth, that it should be considered klein. Rabbi Rav Chanina, my time with Rabbi Lezer, why is Rabbi Lezer machmer? Shekain, Arvia, in the place called Arvia, Mekayman Koitz Asadus L'Gamleim. They used to have camels, and they used to keep thorns there. So we see that even though it was only the minig in Arvia, it became the halacha, according to Rabbi Lezer, for the whole world. So who it too was suggest the Gemara, if this is what Menashe ben Menachem did, that he squeezed pomegranate and made juice out of it, that should become the halacha for the whole world. Ask the Gemara, Midi Iria, is that a proof? Arvia Asra. Arvia is a place. So if there's a place that has a minig, so that minig can have influence on the halacha for the whole world. Hacha, we're not talking about a place. We're talking about a family. So we asked Tosfos that here we're saying that we follow a place. As Tosfos, we learned a Gemara earlier in our Masechta, Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, that if somebody carries something on his head, he's potter. It's not considered he carried on Shabbos. Even though the people from Hutzo carried packages that way, the Gemara says that butler datel it's a kol adam. But that's a whole place. So why over here, when we say that when it's a whole city acting in a way, we have to take that into consideration? And there, even though it's a whole city that acted in a certain way, we don't take into consideration. So Tosfos says a beautiful teretz. Tosfos says, the reason people don't carry packages on their heads, because that's not the way you normally carry something. Yes, there is hutzal where they carry that way, but it's a kolodom. The reason why by Arvia they plant the thorns and kept the thorns is because they had a lot of camels. Says Tosfos, anybody that would have a lot of camels would do that. And therefore, it's considered more of a minik. Furthermore, asked Tosfos, that opinion that we said that we should take what happens in Arvia into consideration is only the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. The Chum disagrees, so why are we taking Rabbi Lezer's opinion to ask questions? So Tosfos Emes agrees, says that even the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Lezer. This that the Rabbanan say that you can leave the thorns is only b'dievid, but even the Rabbanan agree that lahalocha, you shouldn't put thorns into a vineyard. Says the Beis Yosef, that when we talk about fruit, even if there'll be a place in the world where they squeeze that fruit, as long as there's a place in the world where they squeeze that fruit, the halacha is you're not allowed to squeeze it anywhere else. And he brings a raya, because if there's a city like Arvia, then we take their minig into consideration. The Ramah disagrees. This is in Simon Shin Chof, Sif Aleph. And the Ramah says that only in the place where fruit is squeezed do we have to take into consideration. So ask the Magen Avraham on the Beis Yosef, on the Shulchan Aruch, that the halacha is like the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon, we just said, take every place minig for that place. And we don't say because in Arvia it's klayim, it should be considered klayim for the whole world. So why is the Ramah passing like, why is the Shulchan Aruch passing like Rabbi Lezer? It seems that the Ramah is correct when he's passing like the Chachamim. But says the Sfas Emes, after I just said that even the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Lezer, the Lechatchila, since in Arvia they plant that way, it's klayim. Everywhere it should be klayim. And you should not Lechatchila plant thorns in a vineyard. The Machlokes is only in a situation of B'dievid. So I understand why, because even the Rabbanan and Lechatchila agree that we follow if there's a significant minig, and we will apply Tosfos's svart, that especially if it's a minig that's based, because if I would also have camels, I would also do it. So therefore, the Rabbanan really agreed to a great degree with Rabbi Lezer. That's why the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way. The Bi'a Halacha, and that's why the Bi'a Halacha says that in this Machlokes, we usually, Ashkenazim, follow the opinion of the Ramah, says the Bi'a Halacha there in Simon Shin Chof, we should follow the opinion of Shulchan Aruch, that if this a fruit that is used for juice in one place, then it should be considered, it should be also to squeeze it, even in places where that fruit is not typically squeezed. Elohainu Tama. So now, the Gemara gives a different explanation why we Rav Nachman paskins we shouldn't squeeze pomegranate juice. Kerav Chizda, Dar Rav Chizda, Tardin beets shesochton v'nosnu b'mikvah. If you squeeze them and you put them into the mikvah, paisan samikvah b'shinamara. The halacha is that water. So if it's rainwater, it's fantastic. If it's not rainwater. So the halacha is, if the water, that water falls into the mikvah and it changes the color of the mikvah, it disqualifies the mikvah. And therefore, says Rav Chisda, if you squeeze beet juice into the mikvah, it makes the mikvah a posla mikvah. Nobody used to drink beet juice. And why, therefore, if it's not something that people consume, why does it pass the mikvah? What is the answer? You squeezed it, so that means you want to drink the beet juice, and it becomes a juice, and it has the din of mei peiris. So the same thing as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned. You squeezed the pomegranates, and the even though normally they did not squeeze pomegranate juice, that like we find that the Beis Menashe used to drink pomegranate juice, that's why it's considered a juice, and it would be also to squeeze it on Shabbos, and that's what Rav Nachman meant to teach us. Rav Papa gives a different explanation why the mikveh that we have the pomegranate juice, that the beet juice was squeezed into it, is not a kosher mikveh. A whole different reason. It's something that's not used for a mikveh. The kaldavish einoyus mena mikveh chatchila. Anything that you can make a mikveh from, paisalos a mikveh b'shini mara, will disqualify the mikveh if it's not the right color. Tanan hosam, says the Gemara, that this concept, that there's a difference between something that could be used to make a mikveh or something that can't not used to make a mikveh, we see this concept elsewhere. It says, but a word of introduction is required. Rashi Divrei Maskil Nofel explains that when you squeeze olives, there were a number of steps that happened in the squeezing of olives. First, they used to dump all the olives into a place where they're going to squeeze them. And by dump, that was called a maton, to let them ripen in that place. And while you dump them there, there used to be some liquid oozing out of the olives. That's called mayil. It's very clear, it's olive water. Then after they're there for a while, some more of this mayil comes out. And then after you squeeze the olives and the olive oil comes out, what's left over, sometimes liquid will ooze out. So it says, Nafla tachi yayin. If wine, or chaymetz, vinegar, or meichel, this meichel that we just discussed, fell into a mikveh, b'shina marav, and it changes the color of the mikveh posel. Mantana, so ask the Gemara, who says meichel is a mashka, that it should disqualify the mikveh? Om Rabbi, Rav Yaakov, it follows the opinion of Rav Yaakov. The Tanya Rav Yaakov, Omer, meichel, harei kumashka. Moil that comes out of the olives is treated lamashka. Matam moil ayotz betchila. Why does the moil that comes out when we just leave the olives in that maton to ripen, that they're considered tahor? Somebody's not interested in that water. That's not beverage that I want. It comes out by itself. Shimon Omer, mashka. It's not considered lamashka. What about the moil that comes out after we squeeze the grapes? There's certainly leftover olive oil in that moil. My benayu, what's the difference? Both of them are agreeing that the moil that comes out is not a mashka. The nafkamina is ikvenayu dosa botsa sisa, the second status. According to that Rabbi Yaakov, it's tamei, because you want it. According to Reb Shimon, the reason why moil is tamei is because there's olive oil mixed into it. There is no olive oil mixed into it at that second point. So what do we see? Rav Omer, Rav says, Mishum davidovish enosim menem mishka. It's something that we don't make a mikveh out of it. You can't make a mikveh out of moil water. And therefore, Allah is poisla mikveh b'shini mara. So we see that anything that you can't use to make a mikveh passels with shini mara, which is the concept that we just learned why meitardin, even if you'll say it's not considered a juice, but you can't make a mikveh out of beet juice, will passel the mikveh. But what we see from here is that anything you can't make a mikveh from is going to be, any liquid that you can't make a mikveh from, if it falls into the mikveh and it changes the color, shinimara, it passes the mikveh. So the Marsham, the Shalos and Tshuvos Marsham, discusses what's going to be the halacha if somebody, the mikveh had to be painted, had to be plastered, the mikveh had to be plastered, and the plaster started to dissolve, and it dissolved into the mikveh. And if dissolved into the mikveh, it changed the color of the mikveh. And now the question is that we said that anything you can't make a mikveh out of, if it changes the color of the mikveh, it disqualifies the mikveh. You can't obviously make a mikveh out of plaster. Will that mikveh, with a plaster dissolved into the mikveh and change the color of the water, be a kosher mikveh? So the Masham, the Shalos Tshuvos Masham, Chel Gimel Simen Yud Gimel, says that the entire discussion of our Gemara is limited to a situation where it's a liquid. But the plaster, and the Gemara says that any liquid that you can't use to make a mikveh has this halach of Shini Marv. But where it's not a liquid, where it's something that's a solid, a plaster, this halacha wasn't said, and we could be lenient. Amar Vidom Shmuel. So now the Gemara continues in speaking about the halacha of squeezing the malach of schita on Shabbos. So it says the Gemara, Amar Yudam Shmuel, Soichel Adam, Eshkul, Shanovim, L'toich HaKedera. Somebody could squeeze grapes into the pot. Because by squeezing into the pot with food, you're showing that you don't want it as a mashka. You want it as an oichel. And therefore, it's not a problem. Avaloy L'toich HaKedera. But you can't put it into a bowl, because in a bowl, even if there's food in the bowl, explained the Rishonim, Rashi, the Remaskel Avol, since sometimes there's no food in the bowl, and by no food in the bowl, we're going to end up squeezing it, that it's going to look like you squeezed it for the juice, and therefore it's awesome. Amar Chizdim, Medivrei Rabbeinu Nilmad, from this we can learn that we know that the halacha of squeezing is not limited to juice. It also could be squeezing, milking a cow. So choil of Adam eiz l'toich hagdeira. Somebody could milk a goat with the food going directly into a pot full of food. Avloy l'toich hakara. Alma kusover. Because obviously we see Shmuel's opinion is mashka bola oichel, a juice that's going directly into the food, oichel hu. Ask the Gemara, how could that be? Moser Rami Bachomo, it says in the Mishnah Masechta Taharis, Zov shechoil v'se'ez, that if a Zov milks a cow, and the Zov touches the milk, hachol of tamei, because the Zov touched the liquid. Now, the Mishnah didn't differentiate if he's milking it into a pot with food, or to empty, or to not. V'yamrin mashka bolo oichel oichel hu. If we're going to say if it's being milked into the food, it has the category of food, the halach is, as we started our shiur today, all food, in order to be able to make kabel tumah, has to be mukshel kabel tumah. So the question is, b'mayis kasher, how was this mukshel kabel tumah? Answers the Gemara, k'ramar Rabbi Yochanan. The answer is, as Rabbi Yochanan taught us in the Gemara Masech the Krisis, Daf Yud Gimel Amin Aleph, b'tipa mulchach sapiyadad. The same question is regarding the milk that comes out of a woman's body that's used as food for the baby. So how's that food mukshel kabel tumah? The answer is that there's a drop of milk on the woman's breast to make it easier for her to nurse. And that is mashka. So all the food comes in contact with that mashka, hachanami, b'ta mechlech sapiyadad. On the udder of the animal, that milk, even if the milk is going to be used for food, there's that liquid, and that liquid, even if that milk that's coming out afterwards is going to be considered oichel because it's going to a pot full of food, it still became mukshir from that liquid on its that tipa. Masravina, tamei mei shesachet zeisvanovim. It says in a Mishnah in Masechta Taharos that a tamei meis squeezed olives or grapes kebei mechavenes, then and it's exactly the shear of a beya tahor. Why? Because the person whose tamei didn't touch the mashka, he only touched the fruit, and the fruit doesn't have the shear to be tamei, because as soon as a drop of the fruit came out, you don't have a beya. And the halacha is that food that's less than a kebeya is not mekabel tumah. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos throughout Shas, is it not mekabel tumah at all, Tosfos' opinion? Or is it not mekabel tumah in the ability they can't transfer tumah? What do we see from here? Hayoysim mekebeya. If you were squeezing more than a beya, tumah. But again, where the armit, the mashkabol oichel oichel, the juice that comes out of an oichel is considered like an oichel. So the ma'is kasher, this juice had to become mukshel kabotoma. Oichel has to be mukshel kabotoma. Who ma'isiv from a farakla? B'soichel tachakara. When are we saying that juice has a din that of food? If you put it into a pot. But if you put it into a kara, it doesn't have the din of food. And that's the case here where it was being put into a cup where it doesn't have the din of a food. So here we've learned a very big heter that if we're squeezing juice or milking a cow into a pot, then there's no din of schita. Rashi says that this halacha, this tremendous leniency, applies both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Tosfos, the Remaskel Choylev, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, says that the heter is only on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. And Tosfos explains, it goes back to a Hilchas Muksa issue. He says, on Yom Tov, the cow, the goat, are not Muksa. And therefore, the milk that comes out of the goat won't be a problem either if I'm using it for an Eichel. But on Shabbos, where I can't shecht an animal, so the animal, as we've discussed, on Shabbos is Muksa, and therefore, the food that comes out of it will also be Usur. The Ramban, in defending Rashi, says that since the milk that comes out of a cow, a goat on Shabbos, can be consumed by Akum, so that's why it's not considered Muksa, and that's why Rashi is Mako not just on Shabbos, but even on Yom Tov. But as the Gemara explained, if we squeeze it into a cup, there we're not clear that we want to use it for an Eichel, and therefore we have to be machmer. So the Ratva says that even when we squeeze it into a cup that has food on it, it's only going to be usur b'drabanan, because there is food there. And the only reason we're asering is because we're concerned that people don't know that there's food there. And that's why even if you use a kara, it's only usur b'drabanan. Of course, when we say that you're allowed to squeeze it onto food, it gets the halacha of oichel, that's only if the food will be noticeable. But if you have a slice of bread, says the Rivosh, the Shalos Rivosh makes this point. Let's say you'll have a slice of bread under the place where you milk the cow, that won't make that's considered that you milked a little oichel. So in our Gemara today, we learned two very big heterim. One heter we learned that a fruit that's not meant to be squeezed, that's never used for juice, there's no iser shechita, and a fruit that's squeezed directly into food also doesn't have an iser of shechita. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that indeed the halacha is you're allowed to squeeze fruits and vegetables which are not squeezed. Even if you're squeezing them for their juice, the juice of such fruit is deemed an oichel, and as we just said, extracting an oichel from an oichel is permitted. So the Shulchan Aruch Simon Shin Chof quotes the Rosh that says squeezing lemons is permitted because lemons belong to the category of fruit that are not commonly squeezed. Apparently, in the time of the Rosh, lemons weren't squeezed for drinking purposes. The Beis Yosef says that in Egypt, it was customary to make lemonade on Shabbos by squeezing lemons into water. And he wonders why it's mutter. So he says that since lemons are always squeezed directly into the water, and they didn't store in those days lemon juice separately, so therefore lemon juice did not have the significance of a mashka. But says the Chai Adam, today, where lemon juice is produced in large quantities and stored that way, it should be considered a mashka, and the halacha that is that you're not allowed to squeeze them, they're no different, certainly than the tusim remoinim that are mentioned in our Gemara. Now we take that next halacha about squeezing fruit directly into food, and we have a machlokes that we follow this heter. The halacha is that most Rishonim follow the opinion of the Gemara of Shmuel, that if squeezed directly into food, it's considered an oichel, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. But the Ramah quotes a Rach who says that we don't follow the opinion of Rav and Shmuel, and he says that there's no heter of squeezing fruit directly into food. The Mishnah Brura paskins like the Shulchan Aruch, but he does say the Ramah, again, interestingly, he passes like the Shulchan Aruch and not like the Ramah, but he does say that it's appropriate for one to be machmer and hamachmer tavala bracha. So now the Mishnah Brura discusses if somebody wants to make lemonade on Shabbos, he says he should squeeze the lemon onto the sugar and then add the sugar into the water. The Mishnah Brura just said that we should follow the opinion of the Rach. Says the Mishnah Brura, we have many coolers working in our favor. Before we said that lemons are not considered a fruit that is used for juice. We said the Chai Adam is machmer. But the Shulchan Aruch says, the Rosh says, that lemons are not considered a fruit that's used for juice. Moreover, we also have the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, which the Ramah disagrees, but the Shulchan Aruch and most Rishonim follow, that if you squeeze it directly into food, it's considered an oichel. So we have these two coolest, we have these two opinions of the Rishonim that we could be makel, and that's why the Mishnah Brura says squeezing lemon onto sugar and then putting the sugar into your tea is permitted. Our Gemara also differentiated between something that was made to be squeezed and something that was not made to be squeezed. So there's a very interesting tshuva in the Eretz Tzvi. The Shalos HaTshuvos Eretz Tzvi from the Kozel Gavarov says that there's a famous question when it comes to Shabbos, particularly Shabbos in the morning, if you can make Kiddush not on wine, but on schnapps, on scotch, on whiskey. And the question is, because we're supposed to have a revius, and people who make Kiddush typically don't have a revius. So how could you make Kiddush on such a small cup? But he says, maybe, just like our Gemara differentiates between grapes, between juice, some fruits which were meant for juice, there's a din of schita, and fruits that weren't made for juice, where there is no hilchas schita, so too, the din of revius is maybe only by wine, by grapes. Chazal said that only if you have a revius wine do you have the proper shear. But by other alcoholic beverages, there are different shiurim, just like there are different halachas that were stated for different fruits. And that's why he wants to suggest that not only could you make Kiddush on whiskey Shabbos morning, but you don't have to have a revius.